Good morning. Moms, happy Mom's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I love that skit in the beginning where it describes how we dream about being mom. I don't dream about it because I know exactly what they do after having four kids go through our system. Still have them in our system. Carrie does a remarkable job. I was privileged to have a great mom, still have a great mom. She's still around. Talk with her later this afternoon. And I also had great grandparents, great grandmothers as well. On both sides of my mom's dad, or my mom's mom and my dad's mom, were great as well, and great role models as the mothers around me. So I'm very, very appreciative of that, and it's very important that we honor them, which we are doing today. In fact, today, before you leave, moms and ladies, it doesn't matter. We got lots of roses. I'd love to have you take a rose as you walk out, just to remember you today and to give you thanks. And I think they're outside by that door over there. There's lots of variety colors there. I don't know how they do that, but they did it. There's purple ones and pink ones, and it depends on what mood you're in. But we want to honor you with that. Today I want to look at why it's important to honor moms and why it's important to honor our parents and to remember that. In fact, it was so important that God made it part of the Ten Commandments. In fact, the middle commandment, and it almost seems like everything else kind of centers on that, but the middle commandment is found in Exodus 20, verse 12, where it says, honor your father and your mother. Then, conditional, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Right in the center of the Ten Commandments is this command to honor your parents. I want to point out that there's not a time limit or an age limit to this command. Doesn't mean that your kid. It means all throughout your life you're to honor your parents, even as adults. And so when we're thinking about this, why in the world would God put that in the middle of these Ten Commandments? Why was that such an important command for us to understand? And why is it important for us to honor our parents and our mothers and our fathers? Well, there's a couple of reasons. The first reason is that respect for authority begins in the home. Respect for all kinds of authority begins in the home. The phrase, live long in the land, is not referring to age, but to preservate, meaning that you're going to live long and prosperous life. It's talking about the preservation of a nation, that your nation will hold together, that God built family as a building block of his creation. If families are strong, then your communities and your neighborhoods will be strong, and then your schools are strong, your government's strong, your nation's strong, and your churches are strong. It's when families are strong, it's the centerpiece, it's the foundation of a culture. That's why it's frustrating when you see families disintegrating and people not even defining what families are like anymore, that there's this loosey-goosey sense to it, that whatever, it's just, there's something about that we don't understand how vitally important it is. Because respect for authority begins in the home. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul writes to this young preacher and tells him this. He says, mark this, there's going to be terrible times in the last days, and people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, lovers of the good, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them, he says. I find it interesting, right in the middle of all this, as it's describing a decaying culture, is that one of the signs of decaying culture is disobedience to their parents. For when culture refuses to look at morals and the norms of life and they do their own thing, it slowly disintegrates. And disobeying parents is part of that, because we learn about authority in our families. This is a critical lesson for a child to learn. It determines when we understand and we respect the authority of parents and how we look at authority, it determines how well we're going to do at school, in your career, in your relationship. This is not something that we just kind of laugh off, but when we learn to respect proper authority, it will affect every area of our life. The child who grew up saying, nobody's going to tell me what to do, is going to have a hard time finding a job, keeping a job. Because there's going to come to a point in life where you're going to have to deal with authority. And we're going to have to respect that authority in our life. There are three sources of authority in life that the New Testament affirms. The home is one of them. The church is the second, and the government is the third. God had created each one for a specific role. Each one is to be honored and respected in its own way. Now, when the Apostle Paul talks about respecting government authority in Romans, for instance, in Romans chapter 13, he's talking about an oppressive, persecuting government. We're even to have respect for that role that God, not that it's that we support and encourage what that kind of government would do, but he wants us to respect that position of authority, which means as we translate that into our family, some of us grew up in families that maybe it's awfully hard to respect our mom and dads because of what they did to us, but yet we're still to respect that authority and that role that they play in our life. So that's one of the reasons why God placed it in the Ten Commandments. A second reason might be this: how I relate to my parents will affect every other relationship in my life. It is the major forming block in your life. Your style of relating is set at home. Even today, as a grown-up, when you act in ways you don't understand and can't figure out your behavior, many times it's because you're still reacting to your parents. Many marriages have been ruined because a spouse has never resolved a relationship with a parent, and they're taking it out on their husband or their wife or their kids, and they say things like, "You're just like my mom," or "You're just like my dad." Surveys have shown that people who get along with parents have less stress in their lives. And do you realize that our relationship with God is influenced by our relationship with our parents? Some people will say that it's hard to believe in a gracious, loving father when their own father was an abusive father. That's why it says in Colossians 3:21, "Parents, don't come down too hard on your children, or you will crush their spirits." On the other hand, people will also say that it's the way it was because of the love of their earthly father that helped them relate to their heavenly father. You ultimately learn about respecting God and your family. When you respect and honor your parents, it will be a lot easier for you to respect and honor those others in positions of authority, and specifically God. So I want to look at some practical ways today that we can learn how to honor our parents in different stages throughout life. And hopefully I'll tap into every one of your stages. It's a broad perspective on how we can honor God as a child and as an adult. Okay? So let's look at five ways that we can do that. The first way is this. As a child, one way is that we can honor mom, one way is that we can honor our parents is that we practice first-time obedience. Can I get an amen from parents? First-time obedience. Ann Landers, the great writer, when I was growing up, I don't even know if she's alive anymore or not, but she wrote some wonderful columns in response to people sending in some requests, and she was an advice columnist. And one time, a teenager had written in and was disgusted with his nagging mother, and he writes, "I'm 15 years old, and my biggest problem is my mother. All she does is nag, nag, nag. From morning until night, it's turn off the TV, do your homework, did you wash your neck, stand up straight, clean up your room. How can I get her off my back?" Signed, "Pick, Pick, Pick." Ann Landers responded, "Dear Picky, turn off the TV, do your homework, wash your neck, stand up straight, and clean your room. The only way to get them off your back is to do what they say. It's really, really easy." Real easy. That's what I mean by first-time obedience. If you would simply do what your parents ask you to do right away, they won't nag you. They won't need, they'll need CPR, but they won't nag you any longer. Colossians 3, verse 20 says, "Children, always," when? "Always obey your parents." Why? "For this pleases the Lord." It pleases the Lord to do that. I want to please the Lord. It pleases the Lord to obey your parents. Now listen, kids, very closely. We have some kids, a lot of our kids are in class, but it's for these other kids that are in here as well. There is a time to disobey parents. A biblical example of that is King Saul wanted his son Jonathan to kill David, and David was Jonathan's best friend, and he knew it was not right in God's eyes, so he refused to do so. And so there comes a point sometimes in life where you have to say no to your parents. If your parents asking you to do something immoral, like steal or hurt someone else or to lie, if they're an abusive parent and they're asking you to do things that make you feel very uncomfortable, especially sexually uncomfortable, you say no, you have every right to say no. Or if they hurt you physically in every way, in any way, you have the right to say no. So it's not an all-encompassing, you must obey in absolutely every situation. Now, kids, don't use this as an excuse. Just because mom and dad elevate their language a little bit doesn't mean that you can just disregard that and say that I'm not going to listen to you. But you get my point. First time obedience. If we can teach our kids just to listen, you'd be amazed at how easy it goes with your parents if you just do what they ask you to do. So as a child, practice first time obedience. Secondly, as a youth, speak respectfully to them and about them. Speak respectfully to them and about them. Todd Clark, who is a minister in a great big church down in the southern part of the United States, he used to be a minister and used to write a lot of books on youth ministry, and he says that many teens have a disease known as solo word syndrome. They answer with one-syllable words when you talk to them. For instance, you say, how was school today? And they'll say, fine. Did you have fun with your friends? Yeah. What did you do? Nothing. Got any homework? Yep. And then they go back to their room, talk for hours on their cell phones with their friends, telling them how boring their parents are. Todd Clark writes, I got a little news for you. You're not exactly generating stimulating conversation yourself. It's about communication, and it's awfully hard. It's very normal as teenagers grow through those years, as they're kind of pulling off and doing their own independent things, and as they're trying to figuring out life, and it's very, very normal for them to do so. But learn how to speak, kids. Learn how to talk with your parents and be open to them. You'll be surprised at how they like to do that. We need to honor our parents by the way we talk to them and also about them. They want to know what's going on in your life because they care about you and they are interested in what's going on. They're not trying to limit you in life. They're trying to protect you in life, and so they need to be informed in what's happening. In Proverbs 30, verse 17, this is a very strong verse. It says, the eye that mocks a father, the boy, that should say the boy, not the eye. Does it say the eye? Those computers do crazy things once in a while. The boy that mocks a father and despises a mother's instruction. No, it is the eye. The eye. I got that wrong. It's talking about kids. It's the context is the kid. The eye that mocks a father and despises a mother's instruction will be plucked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. That's a pretty strong verse. Don't mess with mom and dad. Respect mom and dad. That was very, very important to God. Part of the reason why it's one of the Ten Commandments. The Old Testament law stated that if a child was out of control, the parents could take him or her before the leaders, and they could pronounce a judgment on them and even stone their kids if they refused to listen. It's very, very strong. And again, it just is making the point how important it is that we learn to respect them. So kids, especially youth and older youth, God is serious about this command. This is not just something another mom and dad had created. This is from God, and God demands obedience to his command. Now, third way, as a young adult, one of the ways that we can honor our parents is to stay in touch with our parents. My sister-in-law, my older brother John, they've been here probably once or twice, a couple times maybe. They had five boys, and the last one finally went on to college. And my sister-in-law, who's a great mom, was beside herself. She didn't know what to do because she had lived this life, and they were athletes and very involved, and a lot of people would hang out in their house. There was this constant activity in their house, constant. And then when Joshua finally went to school, he's going to school at South Dakota State, and when Joshua was gone, all of a sudden there's this empty house with creaks and squeaks and wind blowing through as the furnace comes on. You can hear all that noise now before when it was so noisy. And bugged her. It bothered her. And that's very normal for moms. They kind of feel like they're losing their sense of purpose now that their chicks have left the nest. And that's why it's so important that we check in with our parents on a regular basis when we're going through that young adult stage. My mom would call every week when I was in college. Ask my wife. She would ridicule me for that. My grandma would call to check in on me. Another one of my moms in life. Check on me almost every week. They would call to find out what was happening. They would go through that. And we still are in contact, even today. Today, my dad will call this afternoon, and he'll ask how things go. First thing he'll say is, well, how'd it go? How'd it go? Talking about Sunday. He would love to be here and hang out with you guys. He loves this kind of stuff. And then we talk about sports for about 45 minutes after that. So check in, go through all the Gophers and the Twins, and you see that and this and so on and so forth. But that we check in every week. I'm 48 years old. He's 75 years old. We can do that. I'm still a young adult. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life. And don't despise your mother when she is old. It means that they like to be tapped into. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that our mom and dads will constantly tell us what to do. There is such a thing as breaking away. When we get married, we form our own family, and we break that you know, that's important to do. But it doesn't mean that we don't call them and check in with them, because we're their kids. It's funny, you know, when we go home and all my family comes home, we'll go to a restaurant and my mom will say, oh yeah, all the kids are home. We're all in our late 40s and 50s, but we're still kids. We're still their little kids. So stay in touch with your parents. Number four, as a middle-aged parent, or adult, excuse me, as a middle-aged adult, appreciate your parents. Appreciate them. I think you learn how to appreciate what they've done once you have children and you've gone through all the stuff that they've gone through. And you might have to wait until your kids are gone. That's why I call this kind of your mature age, your middle-aged adulthoods. Because once you get through the high school years and get them on into college and so forth, they've gone through a lot. And all you've that been through that know what kids go through and how hard that is sometimes to keep their head above water sometimes. And so when I look back, I appreciate so much more than what they've done, what they did in our life. I learned a valuable lesson when my kids played baseball in the summer, and at one point, I think three of them, Ellie, Brandon, and Jackson, all played at the same time, so that was four nights a week. And you don't realize how long those games are, and then you do that every night. And so thank the Lord my sister-in-law Kathy was here, because we had everybody covered. So Carrie would go one way, I would go another way, and then Kathy would fill in on her night. And so we were able to watch all of our kids. But just think of how much driving, and our kids weren't involved in a lot. But I think back and about, you know, our parents and how they got us to all these things, and we were in athletics and music and those kinds of things. And then my dad worked long hours in the field to provide for food and shelter. My mom changed diapers, ran runny noses, gave us medicine, cleaned up after ourselves. And I just think of all that they did and how exhausting that is when you're in the middle of that now, and how exhausted they must have been and how ornery we were to them. It makes you appreciate them all the more. Right? We need to, and then we need to let them know that we appreciate them. Somebody said it cost about $250,000 to raise a child. I can do it for $100. No, I don't. Feels like it. It's expensive, and kids, you just got to understand that it's not an easy thing. And how lucky we are to be here in the States, because we have so much. But it's still not an easy thing. So Leviticus 19:3 says, each of you must show great respect for your mother and father. Appreciate them. And finally, as a mature adult, take care of your parents. This is a command in the Bible. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 3 through 4, and then verse 8, it says, take care of any widow. This is the Apostle Paul talking to this young preacher named Timothy, and he's giving him instructions about what churches should be doing. He's talking about leadership. Now he's talking about individual people. Now he's specifically talking about widows. And he says the church should be taking care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness, at home, and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. Honoring your parents pleases God. Taking care of your parents pleases God. And then verse 8, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Isn't that a strong statement? It is not the government's responsibility to first take care of our family. It is our responsibility. And thank the Lord we have a government that can provide some resources that maybe we can't afford. But I just want you to understand that it's still our responsibility to do that. And again, I grew up in a family that we were not a perfect family by far, and we had our own isms and all that stuff. But, you know, I think about my mom taking care of her mom when my grandmother was in her 90s and she was getting very forgetful. And so my mom took her into our house and took care of her and helped her bathe. And if she had accidents, she would take care of that as well. And my sister would come in and do that and honor her grandmother by taking care of them. And then it got to the point where my mom could not do so, physically could not do so. And so she talked with my grandma and they decided to go to the nursing home. We have a very nice nursing home in our hometown. And so they moved her up there and grandma understood that. She didn't want to be a burden for her kids. But my mom was up there every day, sometimes twice a day, checking on her to make sure that she had a good day. And my sister would go up there and do so as well. And then when my grandmother was dying, my mom was there all the time with her. And when she wasn't there, my sister was there. And right before she died, it was that time. And so my sister crawled into bed with her and held her as she died in her arms. Now that's honoring your parents and your grandparents, because that's what we are called to do. Carrie and Kathy did a beautiful job. This will be the first time that they haven't had their parents, her mom around for. This is a special Mother's Day for them. And they did a beautiful job taking care of their mother as she was going through the hospital up here in January and then when she passed all of a sudden. But they were there every day to sit with her because they didn't want to leave her mother alone. They did a great job of honoring her mother. We're to take care of our parents. And God is pleased when we do so. Now, for many of us, this message is a good reminder of how we are to honor parents. And I think most of us are grateful for the parents that we have, and we want to do what we can to honor them. But for some, this message is very painful. And it's easy to honor your father and mother when they are good, godly people. But some of you had parents who hurt you deeply, and your life may have been devastated by them. The fact of life is we often hurt those we love the most, either intentionally or unintentionally. And if you've ever lived with anybody for any length of time, you're going to be hurt by the people, and especially in your families. That's why one of the things that we can do to honor our parents is to realize that they are imperfect like we are imperfect. That's why Colossians 3 verse 13 is very, very important when it comes back to reflecting back about on our childhood, when it says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And remember, the Lord forgave you, and so you must forgive others. Now, that's awfully hard to do in a family when we have such a family that has so much hurt in it and they've done so much hurting. But it is possible with the strength that God gives to us, because we are reminded that none of us are perfect. And that we too need God's forgiveness. And therefore, we need to be forgiving ourselves. Now, God's not asking you to gloss over everything that's happened. He's not asking you to deny the pain. He's not asking you to repress it or make excuses for your parents. He's simply, for your benefit, asking you to understand that there's imperfect people in the world, just like we are imperfect people, and that we can forgive. It does not mean that all that stuff will go away, but for our benefit, it's important that we forgive them. Only God knows the pain that we feel, and He is the one that can help us forgive. In Jeremiah 32, verses 17 through 19, it's a beautiful passage about the courage and the strength that God gives to us. And I want you to notice in the middle of this section here, it says, O Sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. You are loving and kind to thousands, though children suffer for their parents' sins. You are the great and powerful God, the Lord Almighty. You have all the wisdom and do great and mighty miracles. You are very aware of the conduct of all people, and you will reward them according to their deeds. When I came across this passage, it reminded me, it's like the writer is trying to convince himself, frustrated with what's taking place, frustrated with the sin around him. He said, you know, God is bigger than all this stuff. He is beyond all this stuff. He's the one that can give me the strength and the courage and power, even in spite of all the mistakes that these people have made in our life, particularly parents have made in our lives, that God can do the impossible and help us learn to forgive. And when we do that, that's honoring the position of parenthood. God will help you deal with the imperfections of your parents when we ask Him to help us. So the bottom line is this: despite my circumstances, I can honor the role my parents played in my life. And I think that's what is something that we can honor the role that they played in our life. None of us are perfect. Even great parents are not perfect. The older you get, you find the little imperfections they have, just like we have imperfections. But we want to honor them for what they've done. Every one of us has parents. I don't know if you realize that or not. Every one of us did. And it takes two to tangle, and I don't have to explain that either, okay? Every one of us have parents. Now, some of us don't have parents that have been a part of our life, but every one of us have parents. So there's ways that we can honor them by what we do. Proverbs 23, 24 through 25 says this: "The father of godly children has cause for joy, and what a pleasure it is to have children who are wise. So give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy." We close. I'm just going to play a little video clip here of a prayer honoring mothers, specifically today on Mother's Day. And let's use that as a prayer to close off our time here today. Go ahead.